This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. ألا من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنه لا يئس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, we are all aware we are living in a time in which there is great amount of challenges that faces us, both on a collective and an individual level. Perhaps there is no need for us to elaborate with regard to the challenges that are facing us. We know that on a global level, on a macro level, we have different type of challenges in our countries, and more specifically in Palestine, Gaza, where we are seeing the ongoing killing of civilians and children. And I come from a country which has made a petition to the International Court of Justice with regard to genocide, which is well known and it is well established. Then of course, this is not the only type of oppression and injustice that is taking place in the world. There's various type of injustice and there's various type of difficulties that Muslims and other people also face, whether it be in Rohingya, whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Central African Republic, whether it be in Sudan, whether it be in Somalia. And there are so many hotspots in this world where collectively people are finding great amount of challenges and they are facing difficulty. Individually, we are also aware with regard to the challenges facing us. We have a crisis, an identity crisis. Then we also have a crisis with regard to our relationships. Everyone would be aware that perhaps the type of secure relationships we had previously, we no more have all of that type of, you know, security in our relationships. So it is so easy when we look at all of these things that we become despondent. We lose hope. And I think today my talk is a message of hope in the midst of gloom, in the midst of crisis. How do we maintain, you know, how do we maintain that aspect of hope and the positivity when things look so bleak? And let me just give you examples with regard to how our Sharia looks at things. Firstly, we are aware of the ayat which I recited in Surah Yusuf, in which Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. It is only a person who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who loses hope. A Muslim and a believer can never ever lose hope in the mercy and can never become despondent. Whether it be that despondency be with regard to his sins, or whether it be with regard to the situation that he finds himself in, we are never allowed to become despondent. I read somewhere that one of the root words, and the word with regard to Iblis comes from the word balas. And balas means despondency. And nothing gives shaitan greater joy than to see people becoming despondent. Nothing gives shaitan greater joy. Ali radiallahu anhu one day saw a person who was sitting and he was feeling despondent over something that he had done, some sin that he had committed. So Ali radiallahu anhu told him that your despondency is even worse than the sin that you commit. Your despondency is even more worse than the sin that you have committed. So we don't become despondent, because despondency is a trait of kufr and disbelief. The second thing, you and I believe in a futuristic vision. We don't believe that everything only happens with regard to this world. Today we have unfortunately become accustomed to looking at success and failure only in terms of this material world, without looking at what is going to happen to us in the year after. So we define success by material success. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran gives us another definition. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Today, by and large, people will never have such a definition of success. He who makes himself worthy of gaining entry into Jannah and saving himself from the fire of Jahannam, faqad faz, he is successful. So we look at it from that perspective. We are people who look at something from a vision of the hereafter. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this hypothetical example. He said, if for example a person leads a life in this world where he only saw difficulty, now that doesn't happen. Many a times, even in a difficult situation, you will find people who will have some form of happiness, some sort of joy, some form of positivity. But if, for example, it happens like that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah Ta'ala were to put him in Jannah, dip him in Jannah and take him out. So a person who never ever saw difficulty, hypothetically, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala will take him out of Jannah, and Allah Ta'ala will take him out of Jannah. And Allah will ask him, did you ever see any difficulty, oh my bondsman? And he will say, oh Allah, I never ever saw any difficulty. And if a person leads a life only of good, only of ease, and he were to be dipped into Jannah, not even put in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will have to ask him, did you ever see difficulty? He'll say, no Allah, I never ever saw difficulty. Because of being for a moment in Jannah and a moment in Jahannam. So that's how you and I, we look at things. So therefore Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajabal li amri al-mu'min. Very wondrous is the affair of the believer. For him there is only good. If any good comes upon him, he makes shukr to Allah Ta'ala, he gains reward. And if any difficulty and challenges come upon him, he makes sabr. Sabr, we normally, because of our Gujarati and Urdu background, we translate it as patience. And patience, according to us, is a very, you know, passive type of attitude. In the Quranic language, in the Quranic terminology, sabr is much more a positive. It means even if there is challenges, you still persevere with the commands of Allah. You never lose hope, you still persevere. So if there is challenges, you persevere. So a believer always wins. Whether there is good for him, he wins. Whether there is challenge, although I must say that even if there is great amount of rewards for a person facing challenges, a believer never asks for difficulty. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his uncle Ali Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, oh Abbas, always ask Allah for afiyat. There is no better dua and there is no greater dua to ask Allah Ta'ala than to ask Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. Afiyat means well-being and ease. So we are people, ajabal li amri al-mu'min. Every time there is always positive with regard to the challenges we are facing. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore always told us, tafa'al al-khayr tajidhu. Look for things to be positive about, you will find it. Look for things to be positive about, you will find it. There's always, you know, a silver lining in every cloud. So always look for that particular type of things. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us examples with regard to it. The famous example, which I'm sure you must have heard from many ulama, while Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were digging a trench to save themselves because they didn't have enough resources in the battle of the trench, and they found a boulder, they could not remove it, they called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who took up a chopper and hit it 3 times and sparks flew, and afterwards he told the Sahaba, do you know what were those sparks? Sahaba said, Allahu wa Rasulu alam, Allah and his Rasul knows best. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala showed me the treasures of the Persian, Roman and the white palaces of the Yemen Empire. And the Munafiq were making a joke about it. They say he cannot have enough resources to protect himself. He's digging a trench to protect himself. And he's seeing grandiose and he's seeing things with regard to going to conquer the Roman and Persian Empire. But it happened. In a short period of time it happened. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always used to take good omens. He always used to look for good omens. Every time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look for good omens. So in the battle of, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Muslims were all very worried. They were very parishan. You know, they were 12, 15, 20 kilometers away from Makkah. The Quraysh had blocked them. You can't come for Umrah. And the Quraysh never ever used to stop people from coming, you know, to Makkah. Because they prided themselves on being the custodians and the guardians of the Kaaba and Baytullah. And here, because of hostility, they prevented the Muslims from coming. Right? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told the Sahaba, you know, make sabr, you know, make, you know, keep the things well. And then while they were sitting there, the Quraysh sent a negotiating team to discuss the matter and discuss the issue. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard that the leader of the negotiating team from the Quraysh, his name was Suhail bin Amr, he said, and Suhail means easy. Suhail means easy. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately took a good omen. And what did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? Allah will make things easy for us from now onwards. Even in that parashan, even in that type of situation, he took a good omen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to, so many times used to take even names. He used to give names that was good omen, positive. Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi said, his father or his grandfather came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who asked him and said, what is your name? He said, my name is Hazan. Hazan means sorrow and regret. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam changed his name. I think he changed it to Yusuf, right? Or something like that. Something that had a better meaning. He said, I'm not going to change the name my fathers and my grandfather gave me. So Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi said, from that day onwards, there was only difficulty in our life. So always look at positivity, even in the names. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look for positive names. So we are supposed to look for positive names. So sometimes it can be different circumstances. So a person one day went to a person's house, and he was a very elderly person. And, you know, so while they were sitting, he's calling his wife to bring the tea and the biscuits of hospitality. And he's calling her, darling, bring the tea. You know, oh my love, why don't you bring the biscuits? You can't have boruanu bi tokei juene aprene. To bring the biscuits and everything. So after a while, he's calling her with romantic names and everything. So he asked the person, you know, after so many years, 50, 60 years, you still got a romantic spark in you. You know, you're calling your wife with such beautiful names. He said, let me tell you the reality and the secret. I forgot her name. So anyway, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always looked at things with regard to finding good names. I mean, one day a person came, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to have the camel milked. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who's going to milk the camel? One day one person came, what is your name? Murrah. Murrah means bitterness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go away. I look for someone else too. Second person, who's going to milk the camel? Another person came, what is your name? Murrah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you go away from here. Third person came, what is your name? Jamra, burning coal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you don't milk the camel. The third person came, what is your name? Ya'ish. Ya'ish means he who lives happily. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you milk the camel. So what I'm trying to say is that look at how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's positivity. And we can go on making mention with regard to, and such was the way with regard to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala always looked at the positive. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came in front of the Red Sea, in front of the Red Sea, a whole tribe with him, the Bani Israel, back the tribe and the army of Fir'aun, and they said, Inna la mudrakun, O Musa, we have been found out, we are going to be killed either way, in front we are going to be killed, in the back we are going to be killed. Qala kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. Don't worry, my Allah is with me, he will guide me. So Allah Ta'ala said, وَدْرِبْ بِعْسَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. Take your staff and hit it on the ocean. Allah Ta'ala will create a way for you. Sometimes you think Islam is not logic. Islam is wahi. Sometimes you think you had a stick. You have the sea in front of you. You have the army at the back of you. What are you going to do with the stick? At least use the stick to hit the enemy. What are you going to hit this, you know, the stick with the ocean? What difference is going to make? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam obeyed wahi. He would put, you know, stick, and he hit the stick on the water. Allah Ta'ala opened up 12 ways, 12 highways, 12 motorways for the Bani Israel to cross. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was in the stomach of the fish. Allah Ta'ala created a way from him out. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he was in a prison. Allah Ta'ala created a way from him, for him with regard to the whole situation. The knife did not cut. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam tried his asmus to cut Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and the fire became a bed of roses for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in difficult circumstances. So this is how we always look at ways. Even the Sahaba ikram always looked at ways with regard to taking a positive aspect. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu one day went to an expedition, and he found out who was the name of the army commander. So he was told that the name of the army commander was Quraib bin Zufar. Quraib bin Zufar, that was his name, the leader of the army. Umar radiallahu anhu took a good omen. He says, Zafar Qareeb, success is very close. Can you imagine how the Sahaba and how the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And there are many examples. I mean, the Quran is full of examples. You know, I look at this example, Surah Talaq. Talaq is never easy. It's not something that we take lightly, right? We all know that. But it is permitted in situations where people cannot, you know, accommodate themselves and they are not compatible. After making mention of all the aspects of talaq, Allah Ta'ala says, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Perhaps after the difficulty of talaq, Allah will give you ease. This is a mizaj of Sharia. That always look at ease, always look at the positivity. Many times people will say, oh, you know, what is the positivity with regard to what is happening in Palestine, in Gaza? I always tell people, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't ever think that Allah is unaware what the zalimeen are doing. Don't ever think that Allah is unaware with regard to what the zalimeen is doing. Allah Ta'ala knows very well with regard to what the zalimeen are doing. Allah knows them. You know, I teach in a jamia, so I was doing the tafsir of Surah Maryam, and I came upon this ayat, and I said, Ya Allah, we always read this ayat, but it's so appropriate. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَعْجَلْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't be hasty. إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا. We are counting the wrongs that they are doing. We are counting the wrongs that they are doing. We are counting the wrongs that they are doing. We will take them to task when the time is right. It will not happen by our whims and fancies. It will not happen by our time frame. It will happen by the time frame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. We, if we want, we will think everyone must be, even a person, you know, cuts in front of us, in front of the traffic, we will make dua, ya Allah, destroy him also. That's how jalbaz, you know. We are khuliqal insanu ajula. Allah has made human being prone to haste. He wants things immediately. He doesn't want things yesterday. Kalla bal tuhibbuna al-ajila. You like ajila. You like things in haste. We want to become millionaires yesterday. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't work according to our time frame. He has a time frame. And I give an example from the Quran. When Fir'aun was doing such great oppression against the people of Bani Israel. يُقَتِّرُونَ أَبْنَاكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. Can you imagine that type of oppression? He was killing the children. The moment the children were born, he was killing the male children. And he was enslaving the females. So at that particular time, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And that particular dua is recorded in the Holy Quran. رَبَّنَا اكْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُ وَحَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمِ. Oh Allah, destroy his wealth. That wealth which is using against and using it to corrupt and to commit oppression. Ya Allah, destroy his wealth. وَاشْتُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Put a seal on his heart. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمِ. He must not bring iman until he sees your adab and your signs. Sometimes I just look at the wonder of that dua. What an amazing dua. Huh? And then look at how the manifestation of it take place. Hatta idha adrakahu al-gharq. When Fir'aun was about to drown and about to lose his life, qala amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel. He said, I bring, and now he saw he was about to lose his life. You know, after he went to go up after the Bani Israel, the water submerged him. And when he saw death in front of him, death is a very great leveler. Death is a very great, and I always tell people, don't wait for death to become humble. Don't wait for death to become humble. Be humble before that. Because your pride is going to dissipate when you see death in front of you. Don't wait for that time. As such a proud person like Fir'aun who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, he at the time of his death, what did he say? Amantu annahu la ilaha illallah amanat bihi banu Israel. I bring iman on the Lord of Bani Israel. Allah Ta'ala rejected his iman at that particular time. But look at the point that I'm making. The point is, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah destroy him. But according to the riwayats, one riwayat said 40 years, one riwayat said 70 years. It took 40 years for the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to become effective. He made dua. Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Oh, we have accepted your dua. And it took 40 years, according to the more popular riwayat, that, you know, 40 years for the dua to be accepted. So, إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا. Allah is counting what the wrongdoers are doing, what the oppressors are doing. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't be, Allah is not unaware what they are doing. Allah is aware with regard to what they are doing. It's going to happen. We firmly believe, we think the people who are killing women and children, the way they are doing,
If Allah Ta'ala is just, which we believe in, Allah is going to leave it alone. Never it will there, never leave it alone. It will happen, but it will happen by our time frame. It will happen by the wisdom and time frame of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that you and I, we must be firmly believe in it. Don't ever become despondent. Many times people tell me, so many times, Mu'ana, 1 year, we're making Qunut Nazila, we're making this. I say, continue making. Don't ever feel despondent. Don't ever feel things won't happen. As long as we are on the path, it's good enough. As long as we are on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us, you know, we all, whatever, as long as you are making effort, that is good enough for us. And then sometimes you and I, we are human beings, we tend to become, you know, hurt, you know, we sympathize, we look at things, we become so emotional, and sometimes it becomes difficult to see what is happening. You know, it's so difficult to see what is happening today in the world. It is almost as if the lines have become blurred with regard to reality and drama. And I'm not saying that it is permitted for you to watch movies and that, but then some people might have seen, and they see, you know, scenes of violence and scenes of people being killed. And now they see these scenes, you know, in the news. One, you see it in a movie or in a drama, and now you see it in the news. It is almost as if the lines are blurred. But that is a movie which is not reality. This is real. This is what is happening. It's not a drama. It is real. You are seeing people with flesh and blood being killed almost mercilessly in front of the entire world. And the world seems to be helpless with regard to it. And then, of course, we feel, when we feel hurt, we are human beings, we have emotions. How can we see such things? So then, you know, we have to have a perspective. You know, in every country, in every civilization, in every way, there's always been, you know, countries will always celebrate people who die for a noble cause. Every country, I believe that there was something here in UK also a few days, 11-11, isn't there? There was something, you know, where the people who sacrificed their life were being celebrated. Our anthem in South Africa, which might be an anthem in many other countries. We will live and die for the country. So to die for a noble cause has always been celebrated, and none more so than in our religion. When a person dies for a higher cause, obviously there are limitations and there are conditions, and I'm not going to go into that, it's not the time for us. But I'm just giving you the example of a person who dies for a noble cause. What does our Sharia says? What does our deen say? What does our teaching says? It is recorded in our books of tradition. And one of the things that we feel when we see people who have been killed, small women and children, and we see them killed, and we say, how they must have been feeling? Abu Dawud Sharif hadith. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said that the pain a person who sacrificed his cause for the sake of Allah, the pain that person receives is less than the pain you and I get when an ant bites us. The person who sacrifices his life in the path of Allah, the pain he gets is less than the pain that you and I get when an ant bites us. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, in Jannah, no one will want to come out of Jannah. Who will want to come out of Jannah? Huh? Who will want to come out of Jannah? But he said, one group of people will ask Allah Ta'ala that they want to come out of Jannah. And that will be the group of people who sacrifice their life in the path of Allah Ta'ala. They will say, oh Allah, send us in this world. And the joy and the pleasure we got in sacrificing our life for your sake, oh Allah, send us back in the world that we can get the same joy repeatedly. We must get that same joy repeatedly. Send us back in the world that we must get the same joy. So brothers, this is the situation. I've just given you some aspects with regard to how we are supposed to take a positive interpretation with regard to what things are happening. But of course, it doesn't mean that we must sit. You know, someone very beautifully said that don't ask Allah Ta'ala to guide you if you're not willing to move your feet. Don't ask Allah Ta'ala to guide you if you're not willing to move your feet. Because our Sharia teaches us that whatever you want, you have to adopt the means. Allah is, the means are the way Allah Ta'ala grants you His decision. The means are the way. And I give this big example of time is up, so I'll just conclude with this. That, you know, we have to use the means. And therefore Nabi Karim Sa'asim gave this example, even if the trumpet of Qiyamah is blowing and you are planting a seed, don't say what is the use. Go and plant that seed. Just go and do positive things. So in conclusion, I just like to use that despite all the challenges which I've elaborated, we never lose hope in the mercy of Allah because it's a trait of, you know, disbelief. Then I gave you examples with regard to we have a futuristic vision. We believe in the year after. I gave you examples of how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always look at positivity. And I looked at the Sahaba, how the Sahaba looked. How Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took positive omens from every situation. Then I gave you an example with regard to some of the aspects that gives us some sort of perspective with regard to what is happening in the Palestinian situation. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.